So then there was something else you wanted to talk about. Education, right? You'd asked about recalibration a little bit.
I know that there was a recalibration meeting. I know that Dr. Jerry Chase mentioned that he had been down to Riverton for that. And, you know, of course, every time you turn around, there's the issue of educational funding is there all the time. You know, we had at the school board meeting on Monday night, the Johns County School District is getting a line of credit established just to make sure they get through and make payroll throughout the summer, because there's a quarter of $1 million held in escrow in Johnson County because of Board of Equalization issues.
Oh, I see. Appeals.
Yeah.
Yeah, appeals. Well, let me back up a little bit and kind of let folks know, give folks how we came to be here. What happened in the 90s is there was a series of lawsuits by the poor school districts against richer school districts, or that was in the 1980s, the Washakie case, that, and the Supreme Court said, you're going to redistribute that wealth, and that's good. That was 1980. So what they said is Campbell County, Sublette County, you got out of that oil, all that gas, you're going to share it with everybody else. So that was good. Then along in the 90s came another lawsuit by the schools saying, not only, court, do we want you to tell us to redistribute the money, but we want you to tell us, we want you to order the legislature to give us more. We want you to rule on what is adequate educational funding. And the Supreme Court took the bait, just like they've done in California and New York and a lot of very liberal jurisdictions. And the Supreme Court said, legislature, you're going to hire these consultants and you're going to take all kinds of evidence and you're going to prove to us that there's enough funding for the best education possible. And we don't want to hear you say you don't have the money. You raise taxes if you have to. And it was a series of four lawsuits. Well, our spending went up dramatically from, I believe, what the first lawsuit was around $6,000 per student per year to where it's nearly $17,000 per student per year. And we did get some improvement in our education, not in proportion to the amount of spending that went up. But that was all easy because we were rich. We were rolling in the dough. Oil, gas, coal. Well, now the boom is busted. Our revenues are down by 25%, and we don't have the money for $17,000 per year per student. We've got the money for about $12,000 per year per student. Well, $12,000 per year per student is still more than two-thirds of the other states in the United States, but it's a big cut. So the question is, are we going to go from 17 to 12, or are we going to raise taxes to cover that deficit? In other words, we're going to need about a half a billion to $600 to $700 million in new taxes, or do we have some combination of those things? So, as you can imagine, when you sit down and talk about those kind of things in a conference room in Riverton, the conference room was full. I don't know, its capacity is over 100. And then the hallways outside, they set up TVs and broadcasting, and people were all over the campus. I was told that in various places on the Central Wyoming Community College, there were 50, 60 more people. So you have the Wyoming Education Association, that's the teachers' union, the Wyoming Association of School Boards, the Wyoming Association of Principals, the Wyoming Association of School Administrators, and then you have the oil and gas industry, the Taxpayers Association, just everybody in the room watching, wondering, you know, are we going to cut? Are we going to raise taxes? What are we going to do? The purpose of the Riverton meeting was specifically and exclusively to talk about taxes. Here's my beef. I wish we would spend as much time talking about what it takes to help kids learn more as we do about how much we spend on it. And these debates very often devolve into having somebody say, you know, I'll take care of the education, you just give us the money. Did you catch the Casper Star Tribune article? There was an editorial that a fellow from Laramie wrote about me and the Speaker of the Senate, Eli Bebout.
I missed that.
Yeah, it was last Sunday, I think. It was three or four columns. He went on and on and on, but the gist of it is, when I finished reading it, what he was saying, my takeaway is he's saying, quit asking about test scores. quit asking about student attainment. You're just distracting people. That's what he said. All that talk by Senator Kinski about students and learning is just a distraction.
I thought that was the main reason.
He said the job of the legislature is just to start raising taxes and give us the money. And it was pretty mean-spirited column, I thought. Now, you know, when they're writing about you, it's sometimes you cool down a little bit and go back and reread it, and you think, well, maybe it's a little bit more rational and less mean-spirited than I thought. But I thought it was kind of mean-spirited. But I read it. Somebody said, you're going to write a rebuttal. I said, I don't think it's worth it. I mean, I read it. You didn't see it, so and you're tuned in, so I don't know how many other people saw it anyway, but I think it just, on its face, it just seemed absurd. Quit asking about student test scores and what it takes students to learn and are we getting the most we can for our money. And you just shut up about that and start raising taxes. That's your job, and anything else is a distraction. I thought that proposition was absurd. And I think every parent and every educator should want us to be asking not just how much does it cost, but how much should it cost, and what should we be achieving in the end?
Well, you take that same reasoning with everything that you purchase as an individual. Wouldn't you, if you're going to buy something with your money, should there be some value to it?
Yeah, and there is value. I mean, you know, I have people say, oh, you say the educational system's a failure. No. Hold on. That's how you're mischaracterizing. Just because I'm asking questions doesn't mean I'm criticizing educators or that I dislike teachers. You know, my sister is a teacher. I had another sister that's a substitute teacher. I had another sister that served as a teacher. You know, my education I owe to some fantastic teachers that I encountered in my life. But there are a lot of kids that come out of school and haven't gotten what they need to get. They drop out. Half of all the kids that go to community college, they give them an assessment and put them in remedial math. And these are people with a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not criticizing it to say, what's going on and what can we do about it? I think those, you know, we merit a response. And then you can say, well, it's the family. Well, okay, but that's kind of blaming the victim too, isn't it? I mean, what can we do to do the job better? Nobody should feel threatened by that. But when you've got lawsuits and lawyers and litigation and that much money at stake, people get pretty emotional and pretty defensive pretty quickly. So I'm trying to learn how to be more diplomatic. How am I doing?
You and I were down at the mediation meeting in KC. And so my question would be, at the recalibration committee meeting down there, were the small schools, were they heard? Were they did they participate? Did they have an impact on the discussion?
Well,
places like Claremont or places like KC.
Well, on the recalibration committee from the Senate, you have me, and I have KC and Arvada Claremont and Story as part of Sheridan mm-hmm. County School District 2. You have Ray Peterson from Star Valley. He's got small schools. You have Bill Landon from Casper. He doesn't have any small schools. You have Drew Perkins from Casper. He doesn't. And our third member is Hank Coe, and he has Metitzi. He has small districts, small schools. So there's three of us that represent small districts, small schools. So three out of the five. So we are hyper-vigilant. That's an old term I learned from a psychologist. Hyper-vigilant about the small schools. And, in fact, this last go-around, you know, part of the discussion is the basket of goods. What is the basket of goods? The legislature defines that. And I said, you know, part of the problem is we have a basket of goods says we're going to teach everybody everything, and yet on the core four, which is math, science, language arts, and what you and I would call civics or social studies, we are falling below 50% proficient at the eighth grade level and at the high school level as a state. And so the consultants the state has hired in the past has said you have to concentrate on fewer electives and more on those core competencies. You know, if kids know how to do math, they understand science, they understand social studies, and they know how to read and write, they'll be able to pick up those other things much more quickly. So I asked the question, And please, if you're out there listening and you're an educator or you're in the arts, don't freak out. I just said, you know, could we look at narrowing the basket down a little bit more and focusing more funding on that, not eliminating anything, but saying this is the core that we are really committed to funding. Because for the small schools and the small districts, they are required to offer, by law, everything the big districts are required to offer. And the Supreme Court has said you can't deprive them of anything because of money. So you take the small schools, small districts, they're getting $25,000, $35,000 per student per year. The big districts that are getting $12,000 look at that and say, hey, that's ridiculous. We're going, hey, we have to give them everything you give them in Natrona County High School.
So narrowing the basket might make things a little more equitable.
You'd say, here's the key core stuff, and we're going to make sure that is absolutely well-funded. And then some of the other things, we're going to, you know, do we look at maybe a local optional tax levy to fund those things, if you want some of those extra things. Now, there's no question in my mind that 80-90% of districts would continue to fund a lot of things beyond those core four. But it's just, you know, when you're staring a $500 million deficit in the face, I just don't know that you're going to get that much in tax out of the legislature. I can guarantee you this: if you put it on the ballot, you wouldn't get that much in tax. Do you think? Are you prepared to raise the sales tax from 4% to 8%? Because that's what it would take.
I don't think a lot of people would buy that. No.
Mm-mm. When you get outside the echo chamber of the legislature or the echo chamber of these committee meetings, and you just sit and have a cup of coffee with somebody and you say, doggone it, you know, do we really want education to tighten its belt, or should we raise the sales tax from 4% to 8%? Well, people about drop their cup.
Yeah. Well, we've got about a minute and a half. And we've talked about a number of things. You know, we start with Bull Creek Reservoir. We talked about the Judiciary Committee and the edible marijuana. You guys, you've been busy.
Yep.
So what's on your plate for like the next month or so? What's Dave Kinski going to be involved in?
I'm going to try and get some work done on my personal life. I've got an office building that was burned up in a fire. I'm waiting
The
engineers to bring that material back. Don and I just opened a co-work space. And then somewhere in all that, I made myself a promise. I would not let one more year go by where on Labor Day, Don and I look at each other and say, we have not been up to the mountains one time. You know, one of these days.
I can say that right now.
Yeah.
You know,
at the end of the
me.
Summer, it's just crazy. It's just crazy how you just. You know, you live here for a very specific reason, to enjoy all that God has given us and to allow yet another summer to go by without actually getting out and enjoying it. Saturday, we're going to take a walk with Amy Erickson of the college.
I know Amy.
And I don't know where they can find it online. You probably have a story about it. It's called a Wildflower Wilderness Walk.
Okay.
And it's along the Tyhack Trail. And Amy is a botanist, and she's going to take a group, whether it's going to be just two of us or 30 of us. If you're interested, folks, sign up. You can find it online, Amy Erickson, a mountain wildflower wilderness walk or something like that. And God bless her, Donna signed us up for it. She
Good
said, we are going to go do this instead of spending another Saturday chained to a desk somewhere.
All right. Dave, State Senator Dave Kinski has been our guest this morning here on The Morning Show. Dave, it's always great to have you on. Educate me. Educate our listeners.
Well, you know, I learn as much sharing with you as I do sitting in those meetings. That's a good way to learn, you know. They say there's no better way to learn it than to talk to somebody that asks some real tough questions.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. We're a little late going to the news, but stay tuned for another couple hours of The Morning Show. We'll kind of move into the news in progress right now.